Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. On the eve of Human Rights Day, now we bring you an interview with Justice V. Ramasubramaniam, Chairperson, National Human Rights Commission. Interviewer is Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Human Rights Day is observed every year on 10th December since 1950. This year, the National Human Rights Commission is celebrating the day with the participation of various stakeholders. The President of India, Draupadi Murmu, will grace the occasion as the chief guest. To discuss more about it, we are now joined by the NHRC Chairperson, Justice Shri V. Ramasubramaniam. Welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you.
First of all, I would like to understand from you, Human Rights Day is observed worldwide every year on this day, 10th of December, and it aims to promote fundamental freedoms, equality and dignity for all people. What does the day personally signify for you and why is it so important?
The reason why 10th December is celebrated as International Human Rights Day is this. After the Second World War, which happened in 1939, etc., the United Nations was formed in 1945. The Second World War left millions of people dead and millions of people homeless, migration, etc. So 1945, United Nations was created, and in 1946, the United Nations Economic Council, they formed an 18-member commission on human rights to come up with a draft of something called International Bill of Rights. This 18-member body created a document called Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This document, declaration, was adopted by the General Assembly of the United Nations on 10th December 1948. After 2 years of its adoption, on 4th December 1950, there was a resolution passed by the General Assembly requesting the state parties to celebrate Human Rights Day every year so that people become aware of their own rights and also aware of other people's rights, so that the harmony in society is maintained, peace is maintained, the tension that prevails among societies, communities can be avoided. That is the reason why this was promoted as Human Rights Day.
You spoke about awareness and taking a cue from that particular point that you have raised. My next question is, still there is a lack of awareness amongst people about human rights. So what work is NHRC doing to bridge that gap?
The Protection of Human Rights Act 1993, under which National Human Rights Commission has been constituted, is mandated with the power, responsibility and function to spread awareness among the people about human rights. So what we do is, we rope in college students, we conduct regular online internship programs for college students, we conduct offline internship programs, physical internship programs twice a year, once during winter, once during summer. We select people from across the country, about 80-90 students selected from all states and union territories of the country, assemble here. 30 days they undergo training. This is one part. Second part that we do is, we collaborate with colleges and universities to organize one-day human rights programs in their universities or colleges. We go there, we support them both financially and functionally, they conduct these programs. This is the second type of action that we take. The third that we do is very important. We have been conducting a competition for people who create documentaries, short films on human rights. Last year, when we conducted a competition, we had 350 entries. The first entry gets about 2 lakhs. Second entry gets about 1 lakh. Third entry gets about 50,000 rupees. So these short films are screened everywhere in a lot of places. So through media, we do this social outreach. So these are some of the steps that we take in terms of the mandate given to us under the Protection of Human Rights Act.
So now that we come to this year's celebration, because it is going to be a grand one, since the President is going to grace the occasion tomorrow, so I would like to understand from you, the theme for this year is human rights are everyday essentials. How relevant and timely is this campaign according to you? And given the times in which we live, the unpredictability, how important it is to continue with this theme this year?
The United Nations, they come up with the theme for every year's International Human Rights Day. This year, they have come up with the theme Everyday Essentials for one particular reason. As you rightly said, there is a lot of unpredictability throughout the globe, a lot of chaos, confusion, geopolitics. There are a lot of things about which you are not concerned. But then they have given rise in the perception of the United Nations to disaffection and alienation among people. There is a gap between what we talk as human rights in our discourses and what people experience in their daily lives. So the theme of this year's International Human Rights Day, Everyday Essentials, is to bridge the gap between the theory and the practice, the theory and the experience that people have. For instance, people want their food. Without food, there is no life. Only if there is life, livelihood, dignity, human rights all spring up. So for these everyday essentials, what is it that people expect and what are their rights? These are some of the things that we propose to discuss in the national conference that we would be hosting on 10th December.
I believe one of the core functions of NHRC is prison reforms as well. So I would like to understand from you, what steps have NHRC taken to reform the prisons and detention centers in India?
See, what has happened is, throughout the world, prisons are overcrowded and understaffed. So this is a phenomenon which is not very peculiar to India alone. The United Nations report itself says that prisons throughout the world are overcrowded to the extent of 130%, and there is a complete shortage of prison staff. So what happens is, people who should not be there, they continue to be there, or people who are supposed to be there only for a particular period of time, they languish there for more number of years, and the question of rehabilitation very hardly happens. So what we recently held a national conference on rights of prisoners about 2 months ago in October, we invited a lot of stakeholders, people who do field work. The experience that they have had was phenomenal. There were people who go to jails very frequently, collect data of people who are not supposed to be there because they've already spent more than 50%, more than 70% of the term as under trial prisoners, etc. They pass on the information to the District Legal Service Authority for bailing them out. There are some people who work on rehabilitation. There are some people who work on women prisoners. There are some people who work on children who get trapped into prisons because their mothers are there. So we have brought all of them together. We are preparing a paper for issuing an advisory to the government. This is one step. Recently, we held a national consultation on the Probation Offenders Act. Probation Offenders Act was conceived in 1958 so that instead of putting a person in prison, he can be let out on good conduct. The effectiveness of the Probation Offenders Act was analyzed in the national consultation. And now we are preparing, that was in coordination with a private institution which has done enormous work, which actually pioneered this 1958 Act even from 1950 onwards. We are preparing an advisory to the government so that the first time offenders, if they are rehabilitated instead of being put inside prisons, the recidivistic tendencies to commit the crimes again and again will get reduced. That is what we are focusing now.
You mentioned the private organizations. What role are the private organizations playing in bringing about a change in the society with the guidance of NHRC?
That's very important for two reasons. There are private institutions which do a lot of academic work. They come up with the principles, good practices that should be implemented by the government. There are some private players who go to the field and work. Their job is not confined to libraries and paperwork. They work with people. Through them, we get field experience. From the academic institutions, we get theoretical perspective. We try to bring both of them together so that our awareness about the good practices on the field, how they can be bettered in a very intellectual way, can be analyzed. That's how we rope in private players.
Here, I would also like to understand from you, NHRC is in collaboration with other countries as well. And we take good practices from other countries and vice versa. They also take good practices from us. So can you state a few examples of such exchange of knowledge?
Yes. For instance, we have started what is called Indian Technical and Economic Collaboration Program, ITEC program, which was sponsored by the Ministry of External Affairs. We have roped in the National Human Rights Institutions of the Global South. Even recently, September, we had a one-week training program for National Human Rights Institutions of the Global South. From about 13 countries, about 45 participants had come. Each country has got a specific problem. For instance, there is one country where 30% of the population is a migrant population, settled for a long time. Their experience is different. There are countries where whose borders are porous, so they have a different problem. So the way they tackle and how they have to ensure the dignity and human rights of all of them, those best practices we are trying to call out. It's an exchange of, though we call it a training program, we don't actually train them. Both of us train each other. That is one of the successful programs we have been doing for the past about 2-3 years.
Also, here I would like to draw your attention to one very important part of our society, the Divyangjans. So what work is NHRC doing to bring them back to mainstream and to have a dignified life?
We have different core groups on different subjects. We have a core group on persons with disabilities. We have roped in recently, when we appointed special monitors, a person with physical disability. When we organized a core group meeting, it was an eye-opener for us that there are people who can lead a dignified life with some very minimal support in the form of medication. But access to medication itself becomes a challenge if it is prohibitively costly. So in those cases, we try to intervene. There are opportunities for them to get access to generic drugs, but there are legal challenges. In those areas, we try to intervene in court. We try to support them so that the quality of life of those Divyangs is improved, the longevity is improved, and they are able to lead a better life.
Since you took over as the chairperson of NHRC, I would like to understand your vision of taking NHRC and its good work forward.
Actually, let me be very, truthful and humble. An institution which is established for the past 32 years, which is, we all draw from the experiences of the past. So we have had great people who have occupied the chair of chairperson of Human Rights Commission. They have already set the tone. So my objective would be to ensure that new challenges, which they had not faced because of the times at which they lived, will have to be addressed now. The challenges that the society faced and addressed by my predecessors, the path is well laid out. New challenges, which they did not have an occasion to deal with, which we have an occasion to deal with because we belong to a different generation, are the areas where we may have to focus.
You mentioned about the new challenges. And here, one thing which comes to my mind is AI, social media, technology, the evolving technology.
Yes.
How are you dealing with it?
See, we have a core group on digital rights. We are preparing papers so that we can see data protection has become a huge problem. Unfortunately, people are not aware of one fact. Whatever is available on social media, all of us exploit social media without knowing that we are in turn exploited. Once you access something because it is available free of cost, you must know that you are making yourself available free of cost. This thought process is not there in society. Therefore, we have formed a core group. We are trying to work out on this artificial intelligence. Say, for instance, if today people are asked to write an essay, they don't want to read a book. They just immediately click the button. They immediately get everything on their lap, whether it is right information, wrong information. People just don't bother. So this is something I think it should start from every house. It should start from the childhood. We are trying to work on it. See, the Data Protection Act has come. Its implementation will have to be seen. Wherever there are gaps, we have to come up with suggestions.
A couple of times you have heard that NHRC has taken Suomoto.
Yes.
So could you also explain the process for the benefit of our listeners who are tuned into this program today?
Yes. Under Section 12 of the Protection of Human Rights Act, the National Human Rights Commission or even the State Human Rights Commissions are entitled to receive complaints, investigate into the complaints and issue recommendations. Suppose for various reasons, accessibility, knowledge, awareness, somebody is not able to reach out to Human Rights Commission, but there is a newspaper report. On the basis of the newspaper report or on the basis of information passed on by human rights defenders, on the basis of information passed on by civil society activists, we take Suomoto cognizance. People don't have to come to us, we go to them.
I would like to ask you to share your parting comments on the Human Rights Day to the listeners who are tuned into Akashvani. What would you like to tell them?
I would only tell them one thing. I always say that when you are in a position, in your own office, you are the service provider and all others are the recipients of the services. But out of your office, you are the recipient of services rendered by other people. Therefore, you would treat other people the same way you would like to be treated. If your human rights are to be respected by other people, it is mandated that you respect the human rights of other people. That is why the Universal Declaration of Human Rights itself says that it is to promote respect for human rights. Unless we respect human rights of other people will not respect our human rights.
Very rightly said, and it has always been said that human rights are very important for the humanity.
Yes.
So on that kind note, I would like to bring this discussion to an end today. Thank you so much for joining us on Akashvani.
Thank you.
On the eve of Human Rights Day, you were listening to an interview with Justice V. Ramasubramaniam, Chairperson, National Human Rights Commission. Interviewer was Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent. Spotlight.